Jays back in action tonight in St. Louis. Goes into extra innings last night. They had the lead. They had it, you know, and Berríos, he goes out there. He tried to hold on. He couldn't. The bullpen tried to hold on. They couldn't, and they couldn't get it done in extra innings. Here's Steve Phillips, our TSN MLB and Blue Jay analyst. What's happening, Steve?
Hey, guys. Good to be with you.
Yeah, good to be with you as well. The Jays, you know, they put three on the board last night, which for them feels like a fair amount in the way the pitching staff has worked. That, you know, lately has been enough for them to pick up some wins. But, you know, we've been talking about Vladdy all day, and he has one home run in the month of May. He has not hit a home run in 15 games. His OPS in the month of May is 641. His launch angle, a lot of that has been detailed. He's not hitting the ball into the air. What is going on? Like, is there a different attack? Is it that he's just slumping? How do you describe a guy that was the most dominant force in the box last year, at this point being a guy that is not really scaring the opponent?
Yeah, he looks like to me that he's unsure whether the pitchers are pitching to him or around him. And so he's sort of trying to figure out the at-bat. The other thing that you know, so you know, he's wondering, okay, well, are they just trying to throw me out of the plate to get me to chase, or are they, should I wait it out? And he's over-anxious, over-eager, and, you know, he didn't, you know, his launch angle wasn't great last year either. I mean, it was still below the league average, but he just barreled the baseball, so he hit line drive home runs that went out of the ballpark. He's not barreling it this year like he did last year. And I think part of that is that you know, he's putting balls in play because he doesn't swing and miss a lot, but he'll put the ball in play if it's just off the plate. But it's hard to hit a bad pitch well. Now, his dad did it a lot, but you know, he's not doing it the same way. He's not waiting for a pitch to drive. You know, but when a hitter starts to figure it out, and you know they're getting locked in, it's when their walks and their home runs go up, or their walks and their extra base hits go up. Because what that means is they're finding themselves in hitters' counts. They're working it, so they're getting 1-0, 2-0, 2-1, 3-1 counts. And it's at that point where you can then sit on a pitch in a zone and look to drive it. But he's been chasing at bats a little bit, and, you know, he's not found himself in those hitter counts, and so he's not driving the baseball because he's on the defensive a little bit. And the other thing that the entire Blue Jays lineup is doing right now is they're competing against themselves. Like, you can see it in their faces and in their heads and their minds. They're in their own heads right now. They're not really competing against the other team. They're thinking in their own heads, I need to get a hit. I've got to try to do this. What am I doing wrong? What do I do? When do I swing? What's going on? And that is, look, I played 7 years in the minor leagues in my own head, and it is a horrible place to be. I would never have any of you venture into my head during the course of an at-bat. But you know, they are all sort of stuck in this right now, and it can be contagious. And the good news is, just as it can be contagious on the negative side, it can be contagious on the positive side. But it is surprising that they haven't had that breakout game where, you know, you get 18 runs and everybody starts to feel like they're getting healthy. And they, you know, now it doesn't always necessarily carry over the next day, but I mean, every once in a while you step into one of those games and they haven't done it. And so, you know, the bottom line is, when you're playing a team like St. Louis, if your starting pitcher holds them to three runs like Berríos did, I mean, sure, you'd like him to hold that lead, but that's a good team and a good lineup. You know, you've got to try to score some runs against their pitching, and you know they're making Miles Michaelis look like Cy Young, and you know, and so you know, it's a little concerning, and it's one of those ones where I think that they may need some injection from the outside, where they bring in a new hitter who isn't caught up in the energy of this lineup and can bring something different in. The problem is it's awfully early to go out and get a deal done to find a hitter. And so I think that they're going to have to try to solve this from within. It's going to take grinding through it, but it's painful to watch.
Steve, as the general manager, I like watching and focusing on one guy when they're struggling to say, okay, what do you got in this situation? Can you respond? Can you rebound? But as a general manager who's responsible for the team, What are, like, where are your alerts right now? What are you kind of watching and saying, I want to see how this guy's, is it the batting coach? The hitting coach? Like, where are kind of your spidey senses taking you to say, right, I got to see what the hell's going on here?
Right. So it's a really good question. And the answer to that is the last resort would be to change coaches. Now, I did it a couple times in season and got a really positive result one time and a neutral result the next time. So I don't recommend that. I think you've got to exhaust everything before that. And I think that the big question is, what are we doing with each individual player? So I would have had meetings with the staff. You know, we had those regularly anyways, where we're talking through the players. What are we doing with this guy? What are we doing with that guy? You know, and we've seen Charlie Montoya change the lineup. We've seen him, give guys days off. I'm sure from a hitting perspective, some guys have not taken batting practice on a day just to kind of try to clear their mind. Other guys are in there getting extra work on certain things that they need to work on. And so you try every one of those tools, right? There's benching, benching or just giving a day to clear your mind, a mental health day, more so to speak. But as a general manager, what I want to know is the process. It's a result-oriented business, but, it's the hitting coach isn't always responsible for the result. I want to know what is the process and what are we doing? What is our preparation? What is the work we're doing? What adjustments are we talking to the players about? What are we making a big deal about? What are we not making a big deal about? But it's not about the result that I want to focus. I want to focus on the process and make sure that we're doing the stuff that we said we were going to do and that we're holding people accountable for that. Mm-hmm. And that's the stuff as a GM I'm focusing on.
With Steve Phillips, again, the Jays are back in action in St. Louis tonight. Kevin Gausman on the mound. And, the offense has been well-documented in terms of the issues. And we've talked about Vladdy. We just talked about maybe where his spidey senses are. And I think, Teoscar is in the middle of this as well. He and Vladdy, they don't have a hit in the last four games. And that's the meat of your order. Those guys, when they're rocking, those are guys that make opposing pitchers terrified, right, and stay up at night because of the power and the way that he performed last year, the way Vladdy performed last year. Springer's been coming on. Bo's been coming on. They got Espinal hitting second, which is justified because he's been somewhat consistent. But I think, as much as what I said about Vladdy is accurate, it applies here to Teoscar, but he's been coming off that injury. And if he's not at 100%, when can we really expect him to turn it around or at least bring something to the table here, Steve? Because he's almost a guaranteed out every time he steps up to the plate.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, he and Lourdes Gurriel both. If nobody is hitting the ball like they should overall in the season, like anybody anticipated they would. Again, they're last in hitting with runners in scoring position. Teoscar is not a guy, he likes to swing, he doesn't like to take. And, my answer for most struggles is that you don't swing your way out of it, you take your way out of it. You've got to work the count. You've got to understand that the first strike you see isn't necessarily the best one you're going to see. And so many of these hitters are swingers. They go up there looking to swing to get out of it. And I think that that's where I would want to know within the process, what are we talking about? Because, anxiety struggles cause guys to think, I've got to get, I haven't been getting many pitches to hit. So when I get one, I think I better swing at it. Or else. And so if it's even close, you have guys swinging at pitches that aren't really, that are more pitchers' pitches, that maybe it's a strike, but it's not a strike you really want to try to put in play. And so that's where the mindset is. You've got a lot of guys who like to swing their way out of it. And when they're making good contact and they've got a lot of traffic on the bases in front of them, the pitchers are throwing it over the plate, then it's a different at bat. But when everybody's struggling and nobody's on base, then the pitcher can be a little more selective about how he pitches Teoscar, how he pitches Lourdes Gurriel. They don't have to bring it in over the plate. They don't have to come to him. They can make the hitter chase, because if there's not traffic on the bases and they're going to tend to swing anyways, then you're not at risk of walking those guys. And so it really is, that's how the lineup connects to each other. It really does. And so when there's traffic on the bases, then pitchers have to throw it over the plate because they don't want to walk somebody. And then the guys who are swingers are getting pitches that they can hit. And so it really does need, you know, and the question is, where does it start? I think it starts with Vladdy. I do. I think it starts with Vladdy, that he needs to get it going, and that'll make the people in front of him better, the people behind him better, and I think he's the key to getting it all turned around.
Steve, we were talking about Aaron Judge earlier, and it's a fascinating scenario how he bet on himself, and 280, I think, wasn't enough for him. And he is Mr. Yankee right now. He's not Jeter, but he's very popular, and there's a lot of 99 jerseys. And he means a lot to the organization, but I can also see the Yankees digging in saying, you can hit all the homers you want. We're not moving off that offer. How do you think this scenario plays out?
So I think he ends up a Yankee, you know, but in going into free agency. I think he comes back to New York. I think their offer was a fair and appropriate one based upon his health history and his age. And he's 30, so, I mean, it's not like he's a young 27-year-old. And so I think they made the right offer. It was an offer, if I were him, I would have taken. So I'm not going to ask him for financial advice. He's got more tolerance for risk than I do. But you know, he's bet on himself. He's got 17 home runs. The next closest guy has 12. And he's got 32 career home runs against the Baltimore Orioles. They're playing him again tonight. He's got two homers in his career against Bruce Zimmerman, the pitcher, tonight. And he's tearing it up. So I got to tell you that he's actually a better quote than Derek Jeter. Jeter was always accessible, and he always gave the writers a quote, but he never said anything. Aaron Judge has some real substance to him, and I will tell you, he's probably in the top three of players that I would want to be a leader on my team, that he's that classy a young man. I'll give you an example. I interviewed him in spring training for a couple years, you know, and before he really became a star. And then he had the year he had a pretty good season. We interviewed him. And that year I was doing something for TSN at Yankee Stadium. And I was at the end of the dugout, away from the tunnel where they come out of the clubhouse. Judge came up the stairs, started walking up the stairs, looked down and saw me, walked back down the stairs, came down, shook my hand and say, "How are you doing? It's nice to see you again. How's it going?" Like, baseball, big league players don't do that. Nobody does that. And so it really, he just really carries himself with a dignity and class and character, and you want him to be your face of your organization if you're the Yankees. They just have to figure out the right price. So they didn't get there yet, but they will.
Well, we'll see what the Jays have in store tonight. Night two in St. Louis, Kevin Gausman on the mound. And, yeah, the Yankees, they keep chugging. The Jays are trying to keep pace. There's a lot of season left, though. As you know, Steve, we'll do it again soon. Thank you for this, buddy.
And you know, guys, I would have walked up the steps and come back down and walked down and see you guys at the end of the dugout as well.
Likewise,
yeah.
Likewise,
yeah.
Pal.
That's a two-way street. You know that, Steve.
Yeah.
All right,
you know
guys.
That, buddy.
Appreciate it.
There's Steve Phillips, our TSN MLB analyst. Bush Stadium, that's a bucket list. Like, St. Louis is such a great baseball town. It's a great sports town, but... Like, the Cardinals run that town, don't they, Noodles? Like, people love the Cardinals in St. Louis.
They do. I mean, it's. I think I've told you guys this before. Like, St. Louis is a really, like, a hidden gem of a city in the U.S. Like, they love their athletes, and the athletes treat. I was there when the Rams were there. Kurt
right.
Warner, guys like that, you know. So it was kind of neat, and I've sat in that dugout, you know, when Big Mac was hitting 70. I think he was just crushing it. Like, I think it's a, isn't it a hitter-friendly park, too? Because it's,
yep.
That left field line is pretty short.